Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Off the Rails with Anna. Blitz is running around and my father. Wait, is he's on mic two, right? Mic three. I'm dumb. Welcome, Dad. What's up?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Nice. You're right up on the mic.
Get some video going.
To be honest with you, I was a little bit anxious about having you on.
Yeah, who's more nervous, I think, is the question.
But honestly, after coming in and realizing that there's no Bubba, and then you have to kind of sit in the captain's chair and figure some shit out, the last 4 hours have been a little bit anxiety and stressful, so now I feel great. I feel like we can chill. I feel like I'm not fucking up anybody's show. If I fuck up my own, then that's no problem. Yeah. But so feeling good. Dad, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Yeah, as we learned in the last segment, Bubba might have the Delta variant, so you might hope. I'm glad you're leaving to California, so by the time you start exhibiting symptoms, you know.
Yeah, you could take it back to Cali with you.
You could take it back to California with you.
I won't get it.
You're not going to get it, because you've been vaccinated, right?
That is correct.
Is that, you got the Pfizer?
Yeah, I think so.
Pfizer, yeah, all Pfizer, right. That's right. Yeah, feel free to call in 813-90-BUBBA. You can come hang with my dad if you have any questions about him being in the Mossad and in the Israeli army. And he's also here to plug his book, right? Is that you're on a world tour?
I forgot about that.
Your book tour.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, were you nervous about coming on today or were you excited?
Not at all. It was exciting, yeah.
Okay. I feel really bad because I know you wanted to come on. When I was working at The Bone, my dad came to visit and you wanted to be featured, as anyone would, you know, visiting their daughter on the radio. But it was, I think it was my first day back after hurricane epilepsy.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to do that.
And I was just, I didn't even know if I could be myself. Like, it is really, this is kind of a lame word to use, but really traumatizing when you almost get fired for saying some shit and then you don't know what to say, like what to comment about it. I was told don't even mention that it happened. People are calling in. We're having to dump people. And so my dad was like, let me come on. I'm like, no, like just fucking let me be on the air for a week and try not to fuck it up.
You said your dad runs really loose at times.
Sometimes, usually when he's not, as soon as like the cameras come on, then he kind of mellows out. But yesterday you had a bit of a freak out, Dad.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he did. He had a massive freak out.
I told that when you came to the, yesterday at the airport.
See, there's so many freak outs that it's funny because I guess we both stress each other out in different ways.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, take after my mom and not in a good way when it comes to time management. I kind of run 15, 20 minutes late and Pop runs about 4 hours early. So that's just kind of how we roll. But I'm glad that you're here. You're still adjusting to the Florida heat. It was really funny because my dad will say, oh, you know, I really like the Florida heat. It's great. It's this, that. But then after a certain time and like direct sunlight, it'll fuck you up.
Oh, yeah.
It makes you tired. That's why.
It makes you tired, but it also makes you crazy because it's just, it is really uncomfortable. And it's not just the heat. It's the humidity that I think really gets people. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Not good. But you're here.
That video I saw yesterday, I was like, oh, my God, you guys are exactly alike.
Am I going to be on the rest of the week, Anna?
No, actually not at all. You're actually leaving tomorrow. Can't wait to take you to the airport.
Can't we do it remotely or something?
No, Dad. Let's take a first call. Who's this? Okay. Welcome to the program.
Hey, it's Greg, Fort Myers.
Hey, Greg, what's up?
How are you? Hey, didn't your dad live in South Africa, or was he born in South Africa?
I was born there, yeah.
What's the current situation in South Africa that's going on right now? It sounds almost like a civil war. The burning the farm.
Well, there's a problem because there's the whole... Well, it's quite complex, though. I was actually speaking to a friend of mine in Cape Town about 3 days ago, and it's not that bad in Cape Town yet, but in like Johannesburg, in Durban, what happened with Zuma, I don't know if you know who he was the president, and they wanted to put him in jail because of all the corruption and things that he did. And so the Zulu started, because it's very tribal there, they started protesting, and then it just kind of got out of hand because a lot of people are out of work.
Right.
And it's just becoming a mess.
Weren't they like taking over the farms of these families that own these farms for hundreds of years, and their farms were being taken over?
Well, what's happening is before apartheid, it was the whites were holding everything, and then when black power came in, the blacks claimed that it was their land that was stolen hundreds of years ago. And so they're trying to reclaim the land, saying it was theirs, it was stolen, and they want it back. But the problem is they've they don't know how to farm the land, and so when they take it over, it just basically becomes, you know, like there's no food can be grown. And there are a few black farmers that did extremely well, but it's very rare.
What's the racial breakdown of the country? Do you know, Dad?
Yes.
What is it?
Well, when I during apartheid, and it still kind of stayed, it was whites, then it was Indians.
No, like the percentage.
Percentages. Oh, percentages. Well, I know that, I'm not quite sure of the numbers now, but...
wasn't it like during apartheid, I thought it was like 90-10, like 90% black, like 10% of the population was controlling 90% of the people.
There was about 18 million or 15 million blacks with about 3 million whites ruling everything. Mm. Obviously, very unfair system. And it started years ago when the Dutch came and the British came. And just to...
Why did you end up leaving? Because my dad left South Africa, what, in 77?
I'll tell you. I was drafted into the military in 75, and I went into Angola. I was in a war there and saw some pretty nasty things. And when I came out, just as I came out, they said to me, "You're going back for another 4 months." And I went, "No, I'm not."
You can swear. You can say fuck. You can say fuck.
No, I'm not going to. Okay.
You can if you want.
Okay.
All right, well, interesting.
And so I decided I'm not going back because I nearly got killed the first time. I said, that's not going to happen again. And so I left. I went to Israel.
And then you went into war in what, Lebanon? Well,
no, that was not directly. I went to a kibbutz in Israel. I didn't know anything about the country. I just knew that, you know, I just wanted to leave. So a lot of my friends had gone on a kibbutz, and I heard it was really fun. So I was 20 at the time, and I decided I'm going to kibbutz, and it was fun. And then when I was there, I met a guy. I was really into sports, and he said, "Hey, why don't you go to the sports college?" So I went and I tried out and got in. Had a physical test. Well, no, I couldn't speak the language. They said, "Don't worry, come in." And so I went there and I studied. At the beginning, I studied there, and then I finished. And I went to Europe. I went to Sweden for about a year. I had a guy who was a friend of mine, and he lived in Sweden. So he was from Sweden, actually. So I went to visit him, and I stayed there for a year. And
you said it was a pretty depressing country during the wintertime.
No, it's amazing. It was amazing. Just the winters were terrible.
Well, that's not good. It's like three months, 4 months out of the year.
It was freezing. And
it's what? Dark for like 18 hours a day or something crazy.
Yeah, the sun would come up like about 9:30, and then set about noon. And it was like, and it was like minus 60 centigrade. It was freezing. It was like a freezer with the wind chill. It was horrible.
They're all alcoholics. I hear kids have like alcoholic problems at like 13 years of age because there's nothing else to do except drink and fuck, I guess. Yeah. So.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks for calling in. Bye-bye. Bye. What a nice caller. 813-90-BUBBA. But how long have you been in the States, Dad?
Came there in 89.
Right. And you said, we were kind of discussing briefly yesterday that every place that you've been in the last few years, you're thinking about moving. Like, you've come here, you like it here, except for the heat. you want to stay in California because, I mean, San Diego is beautiful. Like, whatever the politics is, you know, yeah, it sucks. You have to wear a mask or whatever. Gavin Newsom sucks, whatever. But San Diego as a city is top notch.
It is.
I would say that it has probably the best weather in the world. You know, is that fair to say?
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's warm. Climate. It's very temperate and you don't have the humidity. Like, I remember going back home in December and it's just, you just breathe. You could just like walk around and like fucking breathe.
Right.
Yeah. Just so nice. But I mean, I like Florida. I like the politics. I like the, if you can even call it, the culture around here. People are just out of their mind. They're crazy. And I just feel like I fit in better.
Now, why did you leave Israel?
Well, Anna's mom, myself, she thought we'd cut. If we go to the States, we'd do better financially.
And my mom is American, by the way.
So she's American. Okay. And I didn't know.
And that's why you picked where you lived? Over here where she is from?
Her parents lived in that area, so we moved in with them at first.
Okay.
And so we got on our feet and...
Just stayed in the area. I mean, why would you leave San Diego?
Just stayed in the area because I knew it. I got to know it. I didn't actually... What's really interesting is I only really got to know the area that I live in or around there about 10 years ago.
Really?
What?
Because I didn't explore out of like the area that we stayed in... Vista Oceanside, Escondido. That's the area that we lived in.
You didn't really go to the city too much. We're about 40, where we live is like 45 minutes north of like San Diego City.
The areas like Encinitas, which are more south and really exclusive areas compared to where we lived,
mm-hmm.
and really discovered them pretty intensely about 10 years ago.
Okay.
So I know San Diego much better than I did.
Right. Now, do you think that you'll move back to Israel? We also, well, not we. My dad has an apartment there.
They're rebuilding it. That's going
to
be beautiful.
Yeah, so my grandmother, my dad's mom, had an apartment there and then left it to my dad. And you said that they're breaking it down and then building it back up.
Yeah, they're working on the
hell
parking
yeah.
lot
underneath. Yeah. So do you think that you'll go back to Netanya and live there? Or?
I don't know. It's
you don't know? Hard, too many choices.
Like, it's easy to, when I go there, then I go, you know what, it's nice in the States. When I come here, I don't know. But I got a lot of options.
What would be your reason for leaving the States? Just, it seems like you quite like it here now. Obviously, it's your home. You're an American citizen.
No real reason. I've lived in quite a few countries.
So. Mm-hmm. So you just think you'll maybe switch it up, go back?
No, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go between countries, stay 3 months here, 3 months there.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. How is your Hebrew? My dad speaks Hebrew fluently. Mine,
pretty good, yeah.
I don't speak Hebrew, which is like the one, like when I meet real Israelis, and I technically am one, but I always feel bad claiming it because I have a connection to the country, but like not really, like almost historically, but not, there's no emotional connection really with Israel because I don't remember living there. So when people ask me, like, why do you look kind of brown? I'm like, I don't know. I'm Israeli. I think someone slept with an Arab in my family. Like, I feel like I look like I'm the most ethnic looking.
Not just the Arabs are brown. There's Jews are too.
I know, but you know, that's just funny to say. But I just feel like I look a lot more ethnic than both my parents and my sister. And I probably tan the...
We have Chinese in our family, so...
Oh, we don't have Chinese. Well, we have Mongolian.
Well, it's Chinese.
Everyone thought my sister was adopted because she looked Asian.
My first cousin did a DNA test and they found that this Chinese.
Turns out I'm that bitch. Yeah, I guess. All right. So I have a little Asian in me. I don't know why that makes me.
You should
me
do a 23andMe, Anna.
No, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
You should.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, I'm good. I don't want to give anything more to the government. Dad, you actually got the Fetch app, right?
Yes.
My dad got the Fetch
app. I thought it was going to be amazing. And like every time I go, it's like, it's 1,000 points for a dollar, and I'm going like 25 points. I'm getting rid of this piece.
But, Dad, when you're making
2.5 cents to scan, I don't even name worth it.
Yeah, but when my dad is making like $12 purchases, it's hard to like, you know what I mean?
$12 purchases. I made like $50 and $70 and $80
purchases. Okay, all right. My bad. Let's take another call. Mm-hmm. What's up? Who's this?
Hey, Anna. Love the show.
Hi.
Hey, Papa Hummel. Can you tell the people... I'm from Cali, and can you tell the people that people aren't fleeing from Cali?
People aren't what?
Fleeing.
And how so beautiful it is here, and my property tripled in the last year.
In California?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's I just didn't hear the first part of what you asked.
He said that people aren't fleeing. Oh. Where are you in California?
Burbank.
Burbank. Okay.
Who is this?
Caviar Tacos.
Okay, that's what I thought. Tacos. What's up, JC?
Hey, man.
Did you say people aren't fleeing California?
Yeah, he wanted you to back him up
they
on that.
They aren't.
Well, some are, some aren't.
As far as the media portrays it.
I know a lot of people that, you know, it depends on your most probably financial position. Some people are leaving. A lot of people are coming in.
Well, it's anecdotal as well. Like, I know a few people, who, especially their parents, like, peaced out after 30 years of living in California. But then if you don't know anybody personally, then to you it seems like no one's leaving.
Correct.
So.
But property is insane. The prices are just crazy. I was going to buy something over here last time I came, but it just goes up so slowly compared to California.
Well, not anymore.
I was going to say, if you haven't looked, like the past year, it's gone up like 30, 40%.
I'm trying to tell them that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Right.
My property went up 150K.
Mine went up nearly 300%.
Oh, from when you bought it, though?
Yeah.
Well, that was what, like 8 years ago?
Still pretty good.
Yeah, still great.
Yeah, it's
so you like living in Burbank or like Little Armenia, that's right?
Oh, yes, sir. Armenian people are the best.
I know.
Also, Sam Harris.
Most of my friends from college are Armenian, and they lived in like the Burbank, Glendale area. So that's where they live.
Pasadena, Burbank area. That's a great area.
That is nice.
All right, so you're not leaving California anytime soon.
Born and raised.
Okay. So is that kind of what it is? It's just like more of like a mental thing where you're not going to leave your home, even though, I mean, how's the homeless situation? It's got to be terrible over there.
It's
right?
getting worse.
Well, they're picking it up now, but as far as like the way the media portrays it, it's not on fire. California is not on fire.
No, it's not.
As your father will protest.
Okay.
We are okay. The homeless is, people are taken care of now, I guess, little by little, but it's not.
People are just mowing over them.
Yeah.
Let's eliminate the problem. Just kidding. That's rude. But, listen, as long as you're happy, it seems like, you know, I guess if you're born someplace and raised someplace, it must be a lot harder to leave because you got, you know, all of your roots there, all your friends, family, it's everything you know. But I don't know. I feel like I've been kind of a gypsy most of my life. So, I don't really get emotionally attached to the places I live, but.
Right. Agreed.
Yeah. JC, are you coming to the party this year?
Dude, yes.
Good.
Hopefully.
Good.
June 15th?
Yeah, January.
January.
January, sorry.
Cool.
We'll see you then. Mm. Thanks for.
Great show, Anna.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Appreciate you.
Thanks.
81390 Bubba.
He's an animator for Bob's Burgers.
Is that a fast food chain? Is that dumb?
It's a TV show on Fox.
Of course. 81390 Bubba, if you'd like to call in and talk to my father. I don't think I'm ever going to move back to California. I'm not saying I would never, but I'm just saying as of right now, I have no desire. I think I was telling my dad pretty much like every day how much I love living here.
Oh, you've told me that a bunch too.
Yeah.
That's nice.
But granted, you also have to understand, like, I was also living in Detroit before here. So I feel like any place that I would have moved after Detroit, I would have just been so ecstatic.
You'd be like, the North Pole is so beautiful.
Look at all the paved roads. There's no squatters, and the crime's pretty low by the polar bears. But yeah, the Detroit, I think, like fucks you up in the best way because it makes you appreciate everything else that's not Detroit. So I'll never take for granted good weather again. I'll never take a body of water that's not a lake for granted again. A lot of things kind of put into perspective. But I love it here. I feel like it's kind of like a home that I carved myself. I didn't move here because I had a friend or had family.
Right.
You know, I was just really, really fortunate that the bone was in, you know, St. Petersburg, Florida, of all places. So
now you've said a few things that you and your dad have done. Like, have you gone anywhere? Like, have you seen any sights?
Restaurants.
Restaurants. I mean, I didn't, going to the beach is like such a pain in the ass.
We're lost though.
Yeah, but you don't, I mean, we're not like sunbathing people.
Right.
Like, we don't want to sit in the sun all day sort of thing. My dad isn't a drinker either. So it's not like, hey, let's go to the bar and drink. So I don't drink because, you know, I don't want to drink alone. So we've just been kind of hopping and bopping around. It's been nice. We had lunch with Will and his father.
Okay.
So we got, you know, of like the boomers together to have a play date. It was great. It was really awesome. Mm-hmm. My dad's a big fan of Will, maybe even more than me. But no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so we saw them and we saw his cousin yesterday, which was nice.
That's when you guys were late, right?
Yeah. So my dad's cousin
How did your dad feel about that? You being late everywhere?
I don't like it very much.
She's literally late everywhere.
So you're not helping the situation.
Like every single it doesn't matter.
Really, Anna? That's terrible.
Oh, she's one of the people
she won't be late if she has to be there.
Of course.
No, I don't know about that.
That's not true.
Hold on, Anna,
have I ever been late to the show?
Anna's one of the people that, like, literally, if you need to be, like, leave by 3 o'clock, you say, okay, well, we need to leave by, 2:50, because you know she's going to be 10 minutes late.
That's what I was told her yesterday. If I come in and my plane arrives at 9 o'clock, I'm going to tell her that it comes in at 8.
It's a horrible habit. It really
it's
is. Terrible. I'm trying my. That's
it's,
a lie.
It's
I'm
actually
not
disrespectful.
Trying at all.
That's what
it is.
I know.
Very disrespectful.
I know. I'm sorry. Okay. Let's shift gears.
She doesn't seem to be mind about
it. Doesn't mean. I know she doesn't mean to be disrespectful.
People are calling
right.
in.
Excuse me. I'm talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
See. He stole my dad.
Doesn't mean to be disrespectful, but it comes off disrespectful.
All right.
Hold on, but a lot of the things she does is like that, though. That she doesn't mean to be disrespectful, but they end up being disrespectful.
Would you care to list them off, sir?
No.
Would you like to air your grievances in front of my father?
No way.
So you're just going to leave us with a cliffhanger?
But it's like being late, though. Like, you don't mean to disrespect people by being late.
Well, you said there was other things that I disrespect.
No,
I'm just asking. This is I like the way Bubba handles things. He handles them on the air so he doesn't have to handle them twice. So what are the other things that I do that are so
there's
terrible?
A number of things.
Okay, go ahead. List them off, please.
I just seem to have forgotten most of them.
Let's take a phone call.
My memory has gone blank.
Hello, welcome to the program. Who's this?
Hey, Papa Hummel. This is Carlos Mendingo III. How
hey.
Are you,
sir? Mr. Carlos.
Hey, I'm a guy that writes parodies about your very quirky daughter. She's very interesting. I was really hoping that your visit here, that Blitz K, Chris, would ask for her hand from you. It would be amazing. Right. I wanted to... I love you guys. So, Papa Hummel, I wanted to get your take on the recent violence in South Africa with, I guess, they threw a corrupt president in jail and everybody's burning the country down. It looks like maybe a civil war, and you're from there and fought there. Yeah. I'd love to hear your take on the situation.
Well, I don't see anything good things happening in South Africa in the coming future. It's just, I hate to say it, it's going to just go down like pretty much the rest of Africa. Not all the countries in Africa, because that's not just. Well, what happened there was during apartheid. It was very, it was a very terrible system. Because I grew up in it, so I know. But I didn't really know. I only really realized when I left the country because you even though you grow up white, they still you basically repressed in a way you can't do anything. Because if you do anything, you got to put your life on the line. So what happened when the people that were fighting apartheid, like Nelson Mandela, I had an uncle who was a doctor who used to visit him on Robben Island. He had different doctors, and my uncle was one of them, and he loved the guy. And, and what happened when Mandela came out of prison, people, had a just cause fighting, to stop apartheid. But when they got into power and black power started, the people that got in had no experience how to run the country, but they got all the riches. There's a tremendous amount of natural resources there, and so they had.
What's their number one export?
Well, there's diamonds, gold.
Well,
asbestos.
I know the De Beers, but
I don't know what they're manics, but they got coal. They make gasoline.
Okay, that's what I was like. I was thinking more energy related, but yeah.
So what happened when they got into power at about 5%, 10% of the population, they just gave all their friends and they basically hunkered down, moved into really wealthy areas. And the rest of the population, even people that were helping them, if they weren't somebody that they knew or, was a friend, they were just left in the dust. So now the situation is, I'd say for about black males, there's very little chance of finding work, and for whites especially, there's no chance of getting work if you're white and you're a young guy. You just have no future there because you won't get hired, because it's like there's a reverse apartheid going on now. If you look on YouTube, you'll see there's a lot of white squatters that I never saw. It's like what happened to the black people at the time of apartheid, which was a terrible system. if you're black, if you were white, I have to say this, when I was white, it was the most amazing country to grow up in. But, you know, that's from my perspective. But sure. from a black person's perspective, and South Africa, what they did is they divided people into different groups. So you had blacks, which was considered like, I don't mean to sound derogatory, but they were the lowest class. Then it was...
what they called colored people.
No, the colored people...
Which was mixed,
States,
right?
Yeah, in the States, color is still like a derogatory term. But in South Africa, colored means that they were mixed. When the Dutch came there, they
like, Trevor Noah talks about this, that he was a colored person because he was half white, half black.
Right, yeah. Right. But he may not consider him... The colors are the most very... You know, they on both sides of the spectrum. Colors, some of them look white, and then some colors look completely
but
black.
If they had any sort of mix at all.
They mix.
And then what about like the Malaysians?
Well, let me just finish.
Sorry.
So the coloreds consider themselves a group. They speak Afrikaans, which was the the oppressor's language. They speak Afrikaans, but they've changed it with all different kind of dialects, which is... It's amazing for me to hear because of my, you know, I'm from South Africa. When I hear them speak Afrikaans, it's really funny to listen to. And that was the next class up, I should say. And then you had the Indians. They came from India. They brought them there to work on the sugar canes, and they told them after 10 years, you're going back. And they said, no, we're not. So they stayed there. And they still, what's really interesting is they still have like a bit of an Indian accent, which is because they stayed in their groups.
Right.
So then you have the Malaysians or so. Which were Muslim influence, they came in, and then the whites. And like Indians, they could own stores and live in, you know, above the store in white areas. So, you know, they had the Immorality Act. Blacks couldn't go into white areas. They needed a pass. And if they were in that court in those areas, you know, the consequences, all different kinds of, depends on the police officers.
And I imagine that everyone in the government was white, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Yes. There was no representation of other minorities. No,
they claimed that the blacks liked the separation. They said,
well, of course
they
don't want to. Like,
of course they said that.
Yeah.
There was a lot of corruption in the white government too, but like there was no gambling on Sundays except horse racing because they all owned horses. So that was okay, you know? And, there was a lot of corruption, but the infrastructure of the country was tremendous because they really kept the country going beautifully. But once the white government fell, the infrastructure just stopped because the people...
Well, that's the trade-off, like with any sort of...
They just took all the money and just like hunker down with the cash and lived these amazing lives. And
you could say the same with like the Nazis, right? Like
I would say more, it's kind of similar in the sense
of
Mexico.
Killing it, no, I mean, no pun intended, no, but in terms of like the organization and the structure and everyone's falling in line.
You mean talk about the white government of South Africa?
Yeah, just in terms of like how structured it was and how there wasn't a lot of...
I wouldn't say it's that extreme, but there was stuff.
Not
like
as extreme as that, no. But still it was everyone kind of falling in line, and it was very organized, and like I don't want to say like little amounts of crime, but everyone was so, you know, fearful of the government that they didn't make
moves
against
the police.
The police.
You didn't ever mess with the police.
Yeah,
I mean the police could kill you pretty much and get away with it.
Yeah,
if you mess.
Well, I'm gonna let the next caller be able to jump in. Thank you
all
for
right,
your input,
Papa
Hummel.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Hey, I look forward to seeing you hand on off to Chris at the altar soon. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you.
All right,
so much. No, if anybody, and I'm not even talking about just Blitz, but anybody, if anybody came to you, Dad, and asked for my hand in marriage and I found out about it, I'd be royally fucking pissed.
That'd be stupid.
Thank you. See, he gets it. You're not, it's
well,
weird.
They should know you enough to know that you'd hate that anyway.
Yeah, I would hate that as well because it's, you know, I'm not... property, so you
kind
could,
of my
pro-
no, I'm just joking.
No, but
no,
but it's
know.
Weird. Like
no,
you're
no, stupid. I just find it very old fashioned.
It is funny because like was that Jews don't do that or do they? Is that a thing?
I think it's just everything.
My dad's super secular now. He's an atheist because of me, but that's fine. I will take credit for it, all of it. But you know, he's kind of rejected
a
lot
talk
of traditional
about that
things.
If somebody wants to talk about that,
well,
I'd
you
love
were, to. Anna was kind of surprised when I told her like that's the common thing to do. Like still, even
what's that?
To ask the father for the daughter, basically.
It depends on depends on the family. Well, it depends where you grow up. But
especially in the States, though, it's like
really?
Still fairly common.
Yes,
yeah,
because,
it is. I
suppose it is. The States is a pretty religious country, I would say, compared to like Europe and stuff.
Right.
And definitely a lot of people hold true and strong their puritanical values, conservative values. I obviously don't. But and I understand that it's not meant to be insulting if you asked a woman's father for her hand in marriage, but I would be extremely insulted because it goes back to the days where, you know, women were property. It's just like, no, you asked me. I'm the one getting fucking married. Why would you ask my dad?
Right.
Like, get the fuck out of here.
It's just different.
I don't know.
It's not meant to be like it, but it,
I know, but that would piss me off.
So what it is you ask the father for permission to ask the daughter to marry you.
Yeah, well, why don't you ask the mom? Why are you going to ask her dad?
Well, you ask your mom. You ask someone that matters.
She doesn't count.
Yeah, you ask someone that matters.
Which is a male, which is her dad.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's cool. No, it's fine. Everything's good.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't like that at all.
I'm fine.
You know, if you're just respectful, even to parents, and you don't do that, you'll get away with it. Just the main thing is just people want respect.
Of course.
So one way or the other, that's all it is.
So would you do that, or would you kind of...
Me?
No, Blitz. Would Blitz do that? Would you do that? I mean, I guess you would have to know the person and their family.
Yeah, it depends on, like, if the family, like, was, like, adamant about requiring it, yes, but generally probably not. Yeah.
Okay.
But, like, if I knew, like, if I was dating a girl and I got to the point where I was going to ask her to marry her, like, I would already know her family, sure. Like, and the dad would kind of already know.
Right.
And I wouldn't ask for permission, but I'd, like, kind of talk to him about it.
Give him a heads up.
Yeah.
Giving a heads up is different than asking for permission.
And that's what I would, like,
yeah.
We would talk about it and be like, hey, here's kind of the deal. I'm thinking about this. And
just so you know. And if you tell both parents, and that's fine. You're not really asking for permission. You're just kind of
that's what it would be.
Saying what's up. And, I don't think I'd have a problem with that, I suppose. But if it was for permission or your blessing, I'd just be like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Get out of here. 81390Bubba. But I was raised in a very, even though I was raised Jewish, it was very diet Jewish, like very low key, you know. Okay. Thank God.
Because I didn't have patience.
You didn't have patience for it. I feel like when we moved to the States, the Jewish community, anywhere in the world, if you move somewhere new, we drove by the JCC yesterday and I almost said, like, man, I wish I would have like this whole family and support system if I cared to join something like that. But with Jews, and I'm sure with like
every
any
religion.
Other yeah every, any group or cultural minority, if you move to a different place and you find that community, like, they immediately accept you as their own,
right?
Which is great. And I think it's kind of like, I think it's kind of dumb, but it is very helpful. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you move somewhere new and you don't know anybody, and then you go to synagogue and then you got 60 friends,
right? 62.
And and families that can take you in or help you out or whatever, just knowing that you have a support system is gives you a lot of peace of mind, for sure.
I mean, if you came here and you wanted to get in like some kind of work business or something.
Oh, it's a great networking, especially
it's good networking.
With
you just jump out when you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
Definitely the way to go. And when I was moved to Australia, my dad connected me with one of his friend's sons who was about my age.
Mm-hmm.
And I met him, and then I met like 60 people all in the Jewish community.
You stayed with my cousin, though.
Yeah, right, who was also Jewish, but I'm saying it was really nice to have immediately, like, all of these friends.
Yeah.
I was getting invited for Shabbat dinners, and at that time I was still an atheist, but I was like, whatever, I got friends, this is awesome.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I didn't go to synagogue once, but, I got invited to people's houses and their homes, and some of them knew my dad from grade school, so that was kind of cool, and hanging with them and stuff. So it's very useful. There's utility for it. But again, I feel the premise is just...
Now, growing up, how often did you go to synagogue?
Once a week. And then when I
that often.
Bat mitzvah, I went to Sunday school.
Hold on. Your dad says something different. What is... Papa Hummel, what do you say?
About what?
How often she went.
Well, she's right. Actually, I just kind of got confused with the States and South Africa. But, I started working there because I spoke Hebrew and I taught them prayers and
You did Israeli history
and prayers. I could read that Hebrew is pretty easy. I mean, listen, my Hebrew is not like I didn't grow up in the country, so I speak it fluently. But if I practice more, I'd get better. But I can speak it fluently. But the thing is, I just went there and I just come from the and so I had to teach history. It was my way of getting into the States, making like $3,000 a year.
Okay,
when I started.
So you were rich.
We were just getting nothing. But then, then got him back in.
When did you learn Hebrew?
When I went there.
We went to Israel. Oh, okay. He didn't know Hebrew.
Actually, when I went to Israel, I had a cousin, and he was telling me, like, when you go there, you got to do this and that and this. And then I found out that he had never been there.
Oh, nice.
What an idiot.
And how old were you again when you moved to Israel?
I was 20.
20, okay.
Hmm. Yeah, I just come out of... I had some, I'd say, post-traumatic stress syndrome from South Africa, from Angola.
Right, right.
That was pretty heavy stuff. And then...
what did you actually do? I mean, not...
I was an infantry soldier.
Okay.
So...
Is that bottom level?
No, it's just the infantry soldier. It's just tougher, you know. It's physically, I never washed for 3 months in Angola. And
oh, Christ.
I saw some... You know, some bad situations. Stuff.
And that was like a communist proxy war. Because, you know, we hear about Korea, you hear about Vietnam, right. But there were lots of proxy wars going on, and that was to prevent communism from spreading, right?
Right. Well, South Africa was very... Anytime... Like, even when blacks wanted power in South Africa, they'd say, oh, they're communists. Because that was the way of...
Okay, so then what was the reason for the war in Angola?
Well, they didn't want the Russians to come in. The Russians were coming in. And so we had these groups, like we had, if I remember the name, FNLA, they were called. They were with South Africa, with you know, the West.
Yeah.
There was the MPLA was against, and like you didn't know who was who. And we had a captain. He was like so savvy. So every time we saw that we'd go to like do these reconnaissance on top of hills, and you see these like these thousands of soldiers moving towards us, you just take off and move somewhere else. And we use mortars and stuff sometimes to shoot at the enemy.
Let me ask you this:
kind of keep them back. If
were there? Did you fight alongside like black South Africans or no? Because
no,
I'm kind of surprised that they didn't send them.
There were no black soldiers.
That's odd.
Well, they didn't want to because if they got weapons, they could
turn on. Okay,
say no.
You're right.
What'd you carry for a rifle?
FN.
Oh, nice.
That was a very powerful rifle.
Yeah, Belgian.
Yes, Belgium. Very powerful. And mine was amazing. I mean, I'd sleep with the thing between my legs, oiled, ready to go because it's so scary.
Yeah.
I wrote a book, you know. I don't want to plug the book, but I will.
No, please do. That's what you're
here. So I remember what was really crazy. I was in Angola and there was this guy. He took a liking to me and the medic. I was friendly with this guy as a medic and he invited us into his house. And it was so weird. We were in the middle of his house. The whole town was deserted because they, you know, they would have been killed if they were there.
Oh.
So they took off and we told him, you got to leave. You know, you can't stay. And he didn't want to leave, but he did. And we were just sitting having dinner at his house in this beautiful house. I remember he had this shotgun with, it was beautiful carvings. He wanted one of our rifles to protect himself, and he said he would give us the shotgun. I said, I can't, you know, like, I can't give him my rifle.
Right.
But there was weapons lying all over the place. There were grenades and guns. They just left all kinds of stuff all over the... You could just walk and see, like, thousands of rounds of ammunition that were just thrown off trucks. But the worst thing that I didn't like, I'd see kids, like, 9 years old with the weapons, and they had no clue how to use them, and... Oh. We would clean their guns for them. We'd take bullets and take out, you know, the
bullets. So that
the
they could protect
just
themselves?
Shoot the shell. What's that?
So that they could protect themselves?
Well, they were soldiers. They were like, they killed their parents. No, they killed their parents and they'd brainwash them to fight for them. It was horrible. And those guys were the scariest.
Was that in Angola? Was that in Angola?
That was in Angola. It happens all over in Africa.
But yeah.
This was in Angola. And, it's, you know, you just, like... You can't trust. You couldn't trust anybody that wasn't like, you know, wasn't a South African soldier at the time because you don't know who they were.
Was it a different experience being in the Israeli army versus the South African army? Did you feel like you
the Israeli army?
Because I feel like
the South African, I didn't really want to be there. They drafted me, and then
right. Whereas with Israel, you have that Jewish connection. And you feel like you're protecting your space instead of like instead of being like a proxy war.
Well,
right?
I studied to be a PE teacher, so that I became a physical education instructor in the army.
But you did go to Lebanon, didn't you?
Yeah. So what happens is I was supposed to. Those days there were no phones, so I went to bed. It was in Israel on Sundays they start work. So I went back. I think I don't remember clearly, but I was sleeping and I go back to my base like nobody's there. I go, what the heck's going on? There are no soldiers around. I said, your base is in Lebanon, so I hitchhiked from Israel to Lebanon.
They just left you.
It's crazy.
What would happen if you just stayed behind?
Well, let me just tell you what happened. If I was at the base, I was supposed to be, I would have carried the radio for an officer, and they have these these troop carriers that, I forgot what they're called, but you go inside of them and they got no weapons, but they protect the troops. And the guy that took my place, they shot an RPG and it hit the weapon and the radio came off and hit him in the mouth. He lost an eye and his part of his tongue.
Wow.
So that would have been you?
I could have been there. I don't know if I would have been sitting there exactly, but it could have been. Then we went into, I went in Beirut, and basically we were just guarding there by the harbor, and the Palestinians had left on a boat. They just left. The Israelis said they could leave, and they went to Cyprus. There's an island in the Mediterranean, and the weapons.
All of the Palestinians are the ones that
No, the fighters. That was the escape. Israel let them go. And what happened was the weapons that we found in the apartment buildings was unbelievable. That stocked all the apartment buildings with weapons. And what they would do is they would shoot at Israeli troops. And so they'd pick up where the shooting came from, and they'd shoot back. And sometimes they'd destroy buildings and they'd say, look, see, Israelis are shooting at civilians. And that happens all the time in the Middle East. That's where it is.
So do you want to break down the Middle East conflict? Do you think that there is a solution, or you just don't think it's possible?
The religious thing's dividing it. But what kind of
is there a solution?
Well, at this point, no, because the Palestinians and the radical Palestinians want the whole of Israel, and Israel doesn't want to give it and will never give it to them. They will never give it to them. I just want nothing against Palestinians. I thought they were wonderful people, but...
But you're not talking about the Palestinian people. You're talking about, like, Hamas and the people in charge.
They support the...
Not all of them.
Well, they support that at a Palestinian state. And I understand, they're Palestinian. Everybody's on their side of their... But the thing is, Israel...
I think Palestinians, more than anything, like the Palestinian people, they would just want peace and like a happy life. Yes, I don't think that.
But if you
they
ask
don't
them
want
individually,
their kids to die.
If you ask them individually, they still support. They want their own state. Problem is, the country's too small. The Jews are persecuted because of the Nazi thing and what's happened around the world. They will never. Israel will destroy every Arab country before they give up themselves. They will never. I can tell you now, they'll never give up Israel. There's just no way.
Right.
Because it's death. It's like you're going to be killed. If the Palestinians ruled Israel, the Jews would be dead. Most of them would be. I'm not saying all of them, because I do know a guy that was captured in Lebanon, and a Palestinian guy protected him from getting killed. Yeah. So, there's situations.
And there's
like
a lot
that.
Of Palestinians and Arabs that actually live in Israel as citizens. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I remember hearing that like 20% of the Knesset, which is like the parliament is made up of Arabs. So, they have representation.
Yes, but the problem is, what happens when the Arab numbers become greater than Israeli numbers? Is it going to be democratic then? Because let's say there's more Arabs in Israel per se.
I mean,
like
if there's
Israeli
Israelis,
citizens,
why would it matter?
Excuse me?
I mean, if they're Israelis, why would it matter?
It does matter, because they're not. If let's say they voted to have a Palestinian state, and they were, say, they're Arabs living in Israel and they're Israeli citizens, they have the majority. So that's a problem, in that situation. But an Israeli Arab, Muslim Arab, is freer in Israel than in any other Arab country in the Middle
100%.
East. 100%. I see it. I mean, people say, I saw it. I've seen it. I lived there. It's true.
And people also don't talk about this, because we just kind of focus on the Jewish-Muslim conflict, but there's a massive exodus of Christians out of the Middle East that are leaving completely and going to Israel or going elsewhere, because Christians are also heavily persecuted in much of the Middle East.
That's
like Syrian Christians, Lebanese Christians, Palestinian Christians.
Some of them are. There's a lot of Africans that have moved into Israel, and there's a big problem there. African people that aren't. That have moved into Israel.
Like Ethiopian Jews or?
Ethiopian, Sudanese, everywhere. They've moved to Israel because they're, escaping.
Well, their countries are shitholes.
Exactly.
You can say that. That's okay.
And so basically they go there and they live there. And then what happens is now the kids are speaking Hebrew and the kids are in school and they feel Israeli. And the Israelis are going like, you can't live here. And now it's become like a racial thing.
Why are they saying they can't live there? Just because they think that they'll implement.
Well, they don't want more and more people. See, Israel, like people say, it's biased because it's for Jews, but it's true, it is.
Yeah,
that's why they made the country. And then when other people come and say, "Hey, we're not Jewish," you go, "Well, you're being racist,"
Yeah,
but they are black Israelis. There's Falasha, those are the Ethiopian Jews.
Mm.
Well, they're not called Falasha; they're called Beta Israel, because Falasha is actually scorned one. It means scorned one. Beta Israel means the house of Israel. So they came there. And when we actually left in 88, they started coming. And it was difficult, they were first at a hard time. They still do, because the way the world is, black people always have a hard time wherever they go. If there's white people around, even, lighter skin, even in Africa, do better than dark skin. It's terrible, but it's, that's the way it is. And So now, but now they've integrated into the country, and I think they're doing pretty well.
Okay. 813-90 Bubba.
Now you start, hold on. You started plugging your book a minute ago, but you never got to actually saying what it is.
Okay, the book's about apartheid, just my life growing up in apartheid. It's not a really well-written book. It was written more for...
Well, you blame the writer.
I know, somebody said some nasty things about me, but I got some really good things. I got a lady who was doing a doctoral thesis, and she asked me some questions about it. She asked me some weird questions, which I don't want to get into now, but... Yeah, I put
was my, she
put
one of the, my, was she one of the million?
Excuse me.
Was she one of the million?
Because you said you had sex with millions of women, so that
he said he's
I
been
did
with millions
not.
Of women.
Let me made that up.
No, you actually said it.
Yeah, he just changed the editing.
Mm. No offense to Lummi, but I don't think he could do that.
Yeah, Lummi's not smart enough to. It's actually your fault.
I just exaggerated. Well, it was a lot, but
okay, of course.
Gross. No, okay, but, let's. I move mean, on. You know,
what's the name of the book?
It's called My Life Growing Up White. Doing apartheid in South Africa. And the reason it's so long is because there were books written by my life growing up during apartheid and what. So I had to make it, you know, specific to that. If you just look up my name, Philip Hummel, and the word apartheid, you'll see me as a baby being held by my black nanny. Mm. And that's the book. And it's a lot of people found it interesting.
Is it on like Amazon?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's anywhere online.
And you didn't go back to South Africa for 40 years until I went there.
After you went there.
No, I know. I was going to go. My dad was trying to convince me not to go. Don't go, don't go, don't go. Mm. I go. Mm-hmm. And then 3 months later, my dad went. And it was literally exactly 40 years because it was, you left in 77 and then you went back 2017.
Wow.
So he hadn't been back in 40 years. And I'm so glad that I went because that was the catalyst for him going. And he had a great time. He went back to his old high school and...
Yeah, I saw pictures of myself in the school. But the thing is, it's a different world. I would never go back. I'm done.
Well, to live, yeah. But
no, I wouldn't go back to visit.
Yeah, not now. But
I have friends. That
honestly, it is.
So you went there one time,
stunning.
And that was it.
Excuse me.
You went back there one time in 2017.
One time.
Okay.
It really is a stunning like backdrop of, you know, a place to grow up, to live. And if it was peaceful, I mean, holy shit.
It's an most beautiful country in the world.
And it's funny because, like, I would hear lots of tales and, you know, my grandmother would tell me stories. My dad would. And so it was so cool to go there and have, like, an actual backdrop for all the stories I had heard growing up.
Right.
And it really was just a spectacular. Because, you know, how everyone's like, oh, great. Like, my roommate's from Cleveland. She's like, Cleveland's amazing. You're like, shut up. But, like, my dad would say that about Cape Town, but it really is that amazing, if not more. Right.
If you were with me, it would have been even different. It would have been better, but because I could have showed you stuff that...
Oh, yeah. It would have been great.
I used to climb down the seawall there.
Yeah, you guys could have went for a long walk.
In the sun.
What's that?
What's that? I said you guys could have went for a long walk.
Yeah, it would have been... The bathroom would have only been 5 minutes away. And I'm just kidding. I said it was 5 minutes away. It was probably about a 15-minute walk. But,
Oh, yeah. Been there, done that.
Yeah, you got to eat.
We'll just walk there.
That was my mistake. Yeah. But what I did
right
with my dad was intentional because I knew that if I said it was 15 minutes, there's no way he would have been cool with walking. So you got to lie and say we're almost there.
I got a good, really good exercise. That's great.
And I honest to God, I tried to take a shortcut, but it ended up being longer.
Okay.
Like I'm following a...
Why does that not surprise me whatsoever?
Well, I wasn't sure. I'm like, I think this would be a shortcut because I'm doing like the map of the area in my head. Okay. And I see like a sidewalk alongside
where
an overpass.
Where was this at?
It was right where like Bayshore meets Platt Street.
Oh, okay. So you're in Tampa.
Tampa,
okay.
Right before the bridge to cross over to the convention center.
Okay.
And we were trying to go to the Publix.
Oh, why are you talking about you? You were supposed to be talking about me. Let's go.
You're involved in the story. We're talking about you. So I'm doing the map in my head. We're walking along Bayshore, and I'm like, I think if we do this cross street, we can, you know, hit it faster. I was wrong. It was probably about the same distance, but my dad was like, where the fuck is Publix? Yeah. And then we went to Publix, and then my dad was like, can we just, like, hang out here? Because it was so nice. It was nice.
Well, you said this morning that he was mad that Publix didn't open early enough for him.
Well, because he dropped me off at, like, 5:30 in the morning. Or right before the show. And then he wanted to go to Publix right after.
Does California not have grocery stores? Like, are you that enamored with Publix?
No, he just wanted, because he's up. So he was like, I want to go do shit, you know?
Yeah, I got some stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for putting gas in my car. That was very nice. Yeah,
and he washed it.
And I washed
it. But it rains
here,
though.
I looked for a car wash, but I couldn't find one. So
you hand washed it?
I hand washed
it. Did you not hear him tell you that earlier when he said he hand washed it?
I thought he just said he washed it.
Yeah, by hand because he couldn't find a car wash.
Oh, my God. Dad. Why didn't you just go on Google?
Papa Hummel, I've been telling her now for like a year, please get the car washed. I even offered to buy it for
crying.
Her.
I saw tears coming.
I know. I've been telling her that.
It rains, though. I just don't understand.
Let me tell you another thing. You said, I open up your hood, too, so I see the battery's like a big clamp of green battery.
I told her that
I
as well.
I just put water on it because water neutralizes it.
I'm going to, yeah, I got.
It's all clean now.
Right. Oh,
I got some. I got some spray for
what
it.
What is
too.
That green stuff?
Just like water.
It's battery acid.
Battery. Water.
Did you didn't burn yourself?
Well, you can use water and also baking soda.
Yeah, baking.
Oh, so like yeah. the same
just
way
like
you make
water,
crack.
I just cleaned yeah. it off and oh, I nice. Scrubbed yeah. it a bit. I checked your oil. Your oil's good.
Thank you. Yeah.
Brake fluid's.
I'm good about getting my oil changed in, on time.
Yeah, every 12,000 miles, whether you need it or not, right?
Yeah, exactly. Every year, once a year, on my birthday.
Do you do it yourself?
I do my oil myself. I do my transmission. I do the coolant.
How about transmission filter?
No, I'll tell you about that. that you only do, you do every like 150. So,
right.
So on the Honda, you can, I have a Civic. So
okay.
What I do is you can just take out a third of it. Yep. I asked the guy at Honda and he said, you don't have to do it. Because if you change it yourself and you don't do it correctly, you can damage the car.
Correct.
Bob Army Ground 114 bits. I haven't read any bits, by the way.
I know.
And then I bled the brakes myself. You can bleed the brakes yourself with a little bottle. It's really easy.
Yeah, a little suction bottle.
Yeah. And so it came out nice and that's all. And now the car just goes.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. I appreciate
it. He wasn't saying your car. He didn't say your car. He said his car at
home.
No,
her car goes beautifully, too.
Yeah, yeah. This morning, he would have had bled your brakes, changed your transmission fluid, everything.
I would have.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
But it seems go smooth.
Listen, if there's a problem with the car, you just turn up the radio, and then you can't hear anything anymore, and the problem goes away.
Papa Humba, did you hear the bad front hub she has in her car?
No.
No. Oh, she's got a front hub going bad, like a wheel bearing going bad.
I didn't.
Is that
and I asked
affect
her,
my
I,
safety?
I asked her about it, and she said I start hearing it, and I just turn the radio.
What happens? Yeah. You should have that changed immediately.
Yeah, that's what I told her.
Mm. It'll just damage everything else because if anything does that, a whack, then the car's
yeah.
not good.
Wheel falls off as you're driving it.
That's good. Okay.
Well, I'll look into it. 813-90-BUBBA. Anything else, Dad, that you kind of want to cover?
The Israeli army, did you say?
Yeah, we talked about that.
Well, what else do you want to talk?
I'm leaving it up to you, kind of open floor. We've done almost an hour, so...
How long are we going to still work?
I was thinking probably going to wrap it up.
Another hour.
No. We're going to wrap it up soon.
No.
You want to keep going?
Absolutely.
All right. Go ahead.
He said he wants to be here all week.
All week? Oh, Christ almighty.
He flew it all the way from California, and the only thing you've made him do is eat Publix and walk.
I'll be in Detroit tomorrow.
Oh, gross. He has a 7-hour layover.
Yeah. Oh, in Detroit?
Yeah. That's longer than the
That's
fucking
okay,
flight.
I've got it worked out. Take breakfast to the airport. I have breakfast at the airport because that's taking me early. And then... on the flight for 2.5 hours, and then I'm there for 7 hours. I'll have lunch at the airport, hang around, you know.
Right. Hang out, go down to 8 Mile.
And then about a 4¾-hour flight to California.
That's
okay.
It's all focused around food. But and my dad can attest to this, I did really well this weekend with intermittent fasting.
You did? Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's like my new thing. No, you're not.
Yes, well, not with you, I'm not, but at home, I'm doing it.
At home, but he's like in vacation mode, so he's just like,
oh, yeah, you got to eat on vacation.
Fuck it. Yeah, no big deal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've been pretty good about it. I'm feeling really good. It's been almost a month now that I've been doing it. I'm like kind of obsessed with it. It's my new thing.
Definitely are obsessed with it. What are you
really
talking
am.
About?
Obsessed with everything.
Yeah, I latch on to something, and then I go all in for like a couple months. And
yeah,
then
everybody does. You'll get out of it also.
Yeah.
She already has. What was it like? Was it Friday morning or something? You're like, I'm going to eat. I don't care.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's called a practice. You know what I mean?
Of course.
It's something that you try to do, and you're not going to hit the nail on the head every time.
Yeah.
But it's about overall progress.
Okay.
You know, it's about adjusting your hunger cues so you don't get hangry. You know, that sort of thing. Or as Dave Asprey says, hypoglybitchy. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm trying
That's
to adjust
your new
that.
Term for sure.
It is because it really fucking defines. I mean, I get bitchy anyways sometimes, but really much so when I'm hungry or my blood
You're
sugar
very
is low.
Food aggressive.
I'm very food aggressive. I'm very food focused.
Very
and
aggressive.
I'm trying to change that. I'm doing my best, and I'm trying to change that.
What's your aggressiveness?
Well, mostly around food, but you know, around a few other things.
Got a short fuse sometimes.
Well, sometimes around certain people. Shorter than others, you know.
Yeah, because you're scared of the others.
Okay. All right. 813-90-BUBBA. But I'm glad that you came to visit me, Dad. I really enjoyed our time together.
Fantastic.
It was fun.
I have a question. How long have you been a vegan?
4 years. I was a vegetarian when I was 11.
Okay.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Because when I was a kid in South Africa, they thought it would be educational for kindergartners to see chickens getting slaughtered. So they took us to see chicken. I was like, I still remember that. And it was just part of the thing there. And it just turned me off. And then now I'm a vegan. I'd say I just don't like eating animals and just the cruelty that goes along with it.
Okay.
And I also health-wise. And I know everybody I say, hey, why don't you become a vegan? They first laugh at me and stuff. And then I start talking about it. And they go, never, never, you crazy. That's never.
Now, but, are you a real strict vegan? Like, you won't eat any animal products at all?
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And well, my cholesterol just, like, dropped like crazy.
Well, because some people are like, you know, I'm a vegan, but like, oh, I'll have some eggs every now and then.
No.
Okay.
No, not me.
Okay.
Yeah, you get delicious eggs now that you can get at, I think it's Trader Joe's, yeah, but in California, I got it was amazing. And I put it with the vegan cheese. I know it sounds funny, but it was, your brain kind of adapts to the food and it tastes like the regular stuff.
Right.
Well, with veganism, it's not like something like Atkins or keto because there's a moral component to it.
Sure.
At least with most people, so it's not like you have bacon on, you know, every once in a while. It's like you right. fucking don't
of course.
Eat it.
Well, now, is there anything that you miss eating?
No.
Okay.
No. I think I'm kind of a natural vegetarian or vegan. The thing is, I should have done it 20 years ago. And another thing, you know, just talking about, if I'm going to bring it up, all those vegans listening there and people that are against it, you know, you'll get people go to rallies and fight for human rights. And like, they're so caring and worrying about other people how bad they treat each other and mm-hmm. the racial thing and the religious thing. They come home and they eat a delicious piece of bacon and the animal has had a terrible life and suffered and nobody cares. And you go like, oh, what do I care about an animal? But you know, Are we more important than the animals? You know, you ask the question and people think it's a joke, but are we more important than an animal? Are you more important than a buffalo? Ask a buffalo and see what he says. He'll say, we're more important. So everybody just thinks they...
Of course.
And the thing, the cruelty that goes with it, people just don't care about it. And I do, you know. It's like,
yeah.
Like you said, Anna said something interesting about, like, if you're going to eat the avocados, they kill gophers by growing the avocados. I understand.
You have to clear the land, you know.
It's true. And it's
so it's like, you know, you're never going to get out completely clean.
No, you're not.
You know, so mm-hmm. it's just you kind of just choose the best path for you and, you know, the most noble path for you, I suppose. It's funny you said that, though, because I was listening to this woman who escaped from North Korea. Her name is Yonomi Park.
I listened to it, too.
Yeah. And she was actually saying the opposite of you, Dad. She said that when she finally escaped to China and then I guess she was living in South Korea for some time and she was watching television and she said that she sees this like K-pop star crying on the TV and she's thinking, oh my God, you know, what happened? There must be like some horrible atrocity. And she said that it was like a charity or fundraiser for animals, you know, to save puppies and kitties and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And she was extremely disheartened because no one's even fighting for like the North Koreans like that. Or for, you know, you look at people who live in Yemen or people who have these like horrible lives that they can't get out of. Like who's championing those people.
It should be both, you know. It should be both.
Yeah.
Of course I understand that, you know. Of course, if you ask me that question, I say they should be doing both.
Right.
And I'm just going to make a prediction because in another 500 years, just mark my words, you'll see. Everybody will be going.
We'll be alive.
We'll be alive.
I'll take that bet.
Well, they'll say this. That people will say, well, people believed in religion? That's crazy. And they were eating meat? That's insane.
Well, I think the technology, I mean, they're working on technology now where people can eat meat without killing animals. You know, they're growing meat in a lab. Would you do that?
No.
Why?
It's just
it just fucking weird?
Yeah, it's weird to me. But the thing is, I mean,
I'd probably eat it. Maybe not.
Health-wise, I don't know if I've noticed the difference, but I feel amazing.
What do you mean you've noticed? You said you feel amazing.
I don't know if I've noticed the difference, but I feel amazing.
No, I feel I don't I, like what I'm trying to I, what I mean by that is like for going from vegetarian to vegan, have I noticed the difference? No, but I feel really good.
Yeah,
I do. I don't have any. I just feel good. Well, and I don't have any pain, and I'm in pretty good shape.
You've been a vegetarian for so long too that
you're like almost there.
The thing is, though, if you watch the show, and I didn't want to watch the Game Changers. Being a vegetarian and eating, I ate a ton of dairy, like yogurt and eggs. I love the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And my cholesterol was so high. And then when I switched to vegan, I went to the doctor about, I think it was about 3 weeks later, it had dropped like significant.
Isn't that crazy how fast it can do that too?
Amazing. And I want to say another thing. There's a guy, his name is Dr. Greger. He's a vegan doctor, and he's not just saying, vegan's bad, like all this stuff. It's good, it's bad, it's good. This guy did research on people for 30 years, and they had heart problems and blocked vessels. Mm-hmm. He put them on a vegan diet, and after 2 weeks, he said he noticed the difference.
Wow. But you also have to understand, this is what my dad fails to point out, is okay. Like you're taking people that have horrendous diets. If you would just put them on stuff that was, like, even if you didn't put them on vegan, but you put them on, like, a Whole Foods diet,
right.
Or you had them eating just, like, chicken breast instead of, like, bacon and chicken nuggets.
Like I did.
Right.
I totally cut out all fast foods and all junk foods, basically.
Right. So if you take any of those people and you just adjust their diet, not even to being vegan, but just being healthier,
but
you're going to see improvements.
Weight, you know, cholesterol basically is oil. It's not fat. It's from the oil. The food sticks to the oil.
Right.
So you got to cut out the oil. But listen to Dr. Greg if you have a chance. He's amazing. I mean, the guy's... And if you watch... I'm going to plug it now. So the Game Changers, fantastic. And Forks Over Knives really pushed me into veganism because I saw
it. And where can people watch that?
Netflix.
Okay.
I've seen Forks Over Knives.
But I love it.
I went vegan for one whole day.
Yeah, you will.
Oh.
And then I was like, you know
it's
what?
It's like they're passing the milk. They go, you can eat 10, 20% of it's okay.
Yeah, so. But here's the thing. Like, you can be a more health conscious, like carnivore or omnivore or something. You don't have to eat like my dude. I know you have your own guru, but my guru now is Dave Asprey, and he's like, no one should be eating industrially farmed animals. He's like, nobody wins. He's like, the animals, it's horrible for them. It's horrible for you. It's horrible for the environment. So he's talking about, you know, free range stuff where it's grass fed beef, things like
he needs
that.
He to be put in jail for even saying anything.
Okay, let's take a call.
Hello, at least prison.
At least.
Hello, who's this? Welcome to the program.
Hey guys, this is Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Mr. Hummel, it's a pleasure listening to you.
Oh, thank you very much.
I was wondering if you, I find you to be a very interesting man. I wonder if you've noticed anything that I've noticed. I've listened to your daughter on the radio since she's come to Florida.
Yes.
And it seems like she's becoming more of a, what we would call in the United States, a hillbilly. What do you think about that?
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
What's wrong with being a hillbilly?
Yeah, Gary, what's wrong with that?
Nothing. I was just wondering if you...
One in Rome,
let me
right?
just tell you, when she lived in California, she was like influenced a lot. She was a little more left. Mm-hmm. Left, right, I don't care, you know, it's...
I definitely question stuff. I was reading like Michael Savage when I was going to UC Santa Barbara, and it got so bad because people were like harassing me for reading it that I took the cover off, you know, the paper cover. So it was just a blue book so I could just read it in peace. So I was definitely influenced by it because my dad always hung to the right.
I love listening to him because he was such an interesting guy. I didn't agree with everything
I know, but
he said.
When I was in college, when I was like 19 or 20, I was reading liberalism as a mental disorder because I was just curious about it.
Right.
Not because I believed any of it. I just was curious about what this guy was saying because everyone's like, don't read that, don't read that. So naturally, I wanted to read it.
Well it was a combination of Laura Schlesinger. I found it very interesting. Yeah. And
Dr. Laura.
Yeah.
Dr. Laura,
and
you know,
Bill
she's
Handel.
Got all the she's like all against all like women having, you know, like sex before they get married, and then there's all these nude pictures of her on the internet.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And she was very attractive. Which
yeah.
Was,
yeah, it was like those were like from
thanks,
the like,
Gary.
Those were like from the early
bye.
80s though.
Thanks, Gary.
We'll take another
and
call.
What's wrong
who's
with
this?
Being a hillbilly?
Yeah, nothing. Who's this?
Speaking of hillbillies, it's Track Meat.
What up, Track Meat? Thanks for calling in.
I know. Everybody hates me because I got dumb comments. I'm sorry.
No.
But I love you guys, though. You guys are my favorite show. I know I'm a normal person. I know I sound dumb when I call in, but, bro, I got kids, a family. I'm a normal person. But anyways, Mr.
Oh,
Hummel,
yeah, you're not dumb because you got kids. That's how you do it.
Yeah, I'm dumb. No, I waited till I was 33 or 32, however old I was. I don't even remember. I smoked
blood. He smokes blood.
Yes. Mr. Hummel,
yes.
Question for you, and I want to make a statement about Gary. Don't listen to him. He doesn't know anything except for how to find a glory hole in a truck stop. So does it make you happy that Anna is more like restricted with her sexuality?
Oh, God.
Because, you know, girls can be dirty, but she's not. She's a good, clean girl. Does that make you happy as a father? It would make me happy as a father of a daughter.
I can honestly say it's her life, and it's not my business.
Oh.
Okay, cool. I respect that, and that's the best answer. You're a very smart man. I'll let you guys go. Have a good day.
Thanks, Track Meat. Appreciate it. Yeah, I think the Bubba Army through the years have, you know, most of the women that have either come through here or been featured on the show tend to run a little bit looser. So mm-hmm. when I came on the show and I just wanted to talk about, you know, I don't
you
know,
just wanted to be
JFK,
a person.
Be a person. Just talk about, talk about how 9/11 may have been an inside job. You know, that was just kind of a different sort of vibe than they were used to. Yeah. But and it took a little bit of an adjustment period for everybody.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
You.
No, go ahead.
About the, like the COVID virus people. I have friends that are on the total spectrum on both sides. Like, you crazy. You got to have the shot. People are going, you got to have the shot. Otherwise, you're going to get the virus. It's going to be terrible. I got people on the other side sending me information saying that if you have the shot, you're going to get, they're putting little things into you and going to be following you around. It's going to change your DNA. And I have the answer. Are you ready?
Yes, go ahead.
The truth is nobody really knows the truth.
Okay, so then why are you peddling?
Well, I'm just going to say something. When you start pitching your side, you don't really know. You're not a doctor, really. You know, nobody really knows the truth. So, and you got to go for the best advice that you think is. And people, the thing is, that's also a problem because, like, you still don't know. And you have doctors on both sides of the state. One guy saying it's, you take it. The other side says, don't. Somebody just sent me something this morning about why you shouldn't. And now it's going to affect your DNA. And I'm going like, you know, this is the truth is, and it's the same thing I'd say with religion, you know. I'm going to mm-hmm. jump right into it because the truth is the real thing you should say, you shouldn't say I believe in this and that. You should say, I don't know.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Right.
That's it. You don't know. You really don't know.
But you were trying to, you're not pressuring me, but you were kind of pushing me on why I wasn't getting the vaccine.
In a way, but I still would never pressure you. I just say it.
No, that's, I know.
I took it because like.
You're whatever. Working. We're
if
ribbing.
I die, you know what? Who cares? Sorry. He just, well, Anna's happy she gets a little apartment there.
Oh, my dad, yeah, loves talking about his will and all the inheritance.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, yes, you well, absolutely do.
You talk about him more than I do.
No, I don't. That's actually, not true. A13.
When am I going to get that apartment? I need that apartment. Yeah. Can you just sign it over to me now?
Okay. All right. So COVID, get the vaccine, don't get the vaccine. I'm the same way. If you want to get it, then fucking get it and shut up. Sorry.
Right. And no one really does.
I spoke to a guy this morning. He's telling me, like, if you don't get it, this guy, like, I said, how do you know? You know?
Yeah.
How do you know?
So you just like to play devil's advocate with whomever.
The truth,
I like to do that sometimes.
It sounds like it is, but the truth is, you don't know, you know? I remember you guys talking about, what did you take when you came to California?
Hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah, you still got it. So, and people go like, so you were all so sure you weren't going to get it, and then you got it, so.
Well, I mean, also, none of it, I mean, besides Bubba, but Bubba wasn't taking it as he probably should, but no, I mean, Delta. I was.
But you were taking it.
It could have been a lot worse. You know what I mean? It could have been a lot worse.
Maybe if you took the, I'm saying if you took the shot, maybe you wouldn't have got it.
Maybe.
You don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe not. Maybe. We don't know. Hello,
say,
who's this?
I mean, you almost died the first night.
Shut up. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Question for Papa Hummel.
Sure.
Could you explain what the rift is between Anna and her sister and why they seem to not get along?
Yeah.
Or any insight to that?
Absolutely, I know the insight.
Yeah.
Can I say it?
I don't care. Go ahead.
The sister's like always been kind of difficult. I totally understand, Anna, and I don't want to really go into this.
You don't have to answer anything you don't want to answer.
Yeah,
you don't have to answer anything.
A sister's like a difficult.
Any other word you want to use?
Did you think there was ever a time where Anna or her sister were close at all?
No.
Ever?
No.
Never?
Never.
And did I call that as a child?
Whose fault was that, do you think?
Both of ours.
No, it's nobody's fault. They were just different.
Because I was older.
I'll tell you about a sister too, about me and a sister. She never really saw, she just never, like Anna would go, oh, my dad's amazing. I love this stuff. I showed him music. My sister goes, What's the big deal?
Well,
about
apparently
that?
There's, again, I'm no doctor or psychologist or whatever, but apparently there's a thing where oftentimes children will favor one parent over the other. Just natural thing that happens.
That's common.
No, it's not even that. It's more than that. And I
okay,
just
well,
think
that's
my
what,
mistake
hold on.
Was they should have gone to counseling.
Hold on. Let's start like from the beginning. So even as like a toddler, like very small, she always favored my mom. And then just
that is not true, Anna. That's not true. I never slept for 3 years because I was with her waking up every, and she always wanted to come to
me
as a baby.
Small kid.
And how much older are you than your sister?
4 years.
Okay, so you were four when you were thinking this. Five, maybe.
No.
So you're. I would. Yeah, when your sister was a toddler, you were five.
Well, yeah, but I wasn't thinking about a child that favors one parent over the other.
Yeah,
but I'm saying is your view now is flawed because you're thinking of your 5 year old image, which probably isn't valid.
You remember those times, Anna, when we're at home, we'd play all those games and put like we'd take shaving cream and put it in our faces and videotape. It was so much fun.
Yeah, no,
those were fun times.
They were fun times, but also, like, you know, to be fair, mom was kind of doing the business thing, so...
She's never around.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh. But the thing is, my youngest daughter doesn't speak to me once my wife left, okay, after 30 years. And the thing is, she tells Anna that because I called her fat. But she doesn't remember, like, I did everything for them.
Right.
I did. Seriously, I was there. If she asked me, I would never let her down. She was difficult, but I was always there for them. I always there for my kids.
Sure.
And I gave them everything they needed. And I think I was a very good dad.
You were a very good dad, you know, and sometimes, listen, you're just going to have a I don't want to say a bad egg, but, you know, an off-colored egg, whatever.
Hey,
whatever's
well, no, nice no.
But here's the thing, though, is like, you know, you're not the only person that's had issues with
of
her.
Course I
you know,
I know.
Mom is, and this is kind of inside-eggy to my family, but whatever. You know, mom has come to me and said similar things to you just 20 years later. You know, she goes, oh, I guess, I swear to God, and I told you this, Dad. Mom has come to me and said within the last 5 years, your dad was kind of right. You know, and sometimes you just have a kid with a few screws that are a little bit loose. No big deal. You just got to tighten it up a little bit.
Now, why were you never close with your sister, Anna?
They were just very different.
Stupid.
They were
because even recently.
My sister had no common sense. Even as a child, she would.
She's a very,
mom and
like,
dance
low EQ.
And she'd go, which is, she'd touch kids' hair. And I said,
like Joe Biden.
I said, don't
she's
touch
like the
her.
Joe Biden of kids.
She'd start crying. When she couldn't get away, she'd start crying. And we gave in to it. My
Shut
mistake
up.
Was
yeah.
I grew up in South Africa, and going to counseling was considered weak. You
sure.
couldn't handle your own thing. Well, you're
it,
weak,
it, was,
you're this.
It was here, too, until fairly recently.
I know. And then so I never.
Great
and
distinct,
she would talk me out of. I wanted to send it. I wanted to. I thought about it. And if it was now, I would have grabbed her by the back of the neck and taken her down to the. And I would have. I got a friend, actually, he lives in Israel, he's a South African guy, and he said all his kids went to counseling, and he said if they didn't, they would have been total screw-ups. And they're all doing really well now.
Yeah, but...
His daughter's... No, but not so.
Yeah, leave that alone. I know exactly what the fuck you're going to say, and let's just not say it.
He's a cool guy.
If you don't mind me asking, have you been to counseling?
Me? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, he's like...
As soon as it happened to me, man, I went to counseling.
Okay.
And I was a wreck. I mean, when
sure.
I was an absolute mess, you know, when
anybody would be.
Absolutely.
After 30 years, I got complacent in the marriage, and I thought everything was cool.
Sure.
Because there was still intimacy right till the last day. Okay, just relax.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And so, you know, as a guy, you don't know, like, you go along and then
of
suddenly
course.
My ex was communicating with some old boyfriend from the past because of Facebook.
Oh, we know that.
And so, you know, the way it is, that's what happens. And so She was planning it. I know now all the stuff, and I know all
sure.
the signals. And my mistake is, I think
you were thinking, hey, if there's that big of an issue, you should come to you and say, hey, here's the issue. Let's fix it.
She said, she'd send me. I'm not happy. I go, okay,
right.
Tomorrow she'll be happy. You know,
sure.
And so what happens when she left? I was in shock.
Mm-hmm.
And my mistake, and I'll tell every guy listening to this, never beg a woman to come back. If you wanted to come back, never beg you. Walk away, say, there's the dog, goodbye. And if you don't want to be with me anymore, have a nice life.
Correct.
That's what you should say. But what I did is I begged it. I didn't know, you know, like I begged her and begged her.
Yeah, you learn later, though.
Yeah, and I learned, and I went through, are you ready? I went through like 12 relationships in about 3 months.
Millions.
And that was before. When I was younger, I just knew exactly what I, you know, I had a woman that I worked with. I'm a teacher, and she said, "Hey, why don't you go online?" I go, "What's that?" She goes, "Go online." And I went online. I thought it, and I just wrote. I just know what to write. I wrote the right things.
Okay.
And you know, I told women like I'm, you know, got to be compassionate, love animals, and I like working out, and I got. I met some beautiful women.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. And they were great. And they, nothing worked out because I was a mess. And, I, you know, you can't have a relationship when you're not ready. And I
exactly
bring up my ex and it just wasn't good. And there were some women that I should have stayed with, but I didn't and messed up. And basically,
now, how did you learn to deal with that and get better? Was it through counseling or other? Did you just, look?
I'll tell you what. It's time. Time is the key. And my mistake, I went and I told everybody at my work what was going on. I'm sure people saw me coming and like ran or,
right.
You know, not this guy game. I said, I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it makes you, I'm such a stronger person. I'm much more knowledgeable. If I had the information I have in my head now that I had, say, 30 years ago,
oh yeah,
it would have been different. And, you know, it takes time. Some people don't learn. Some people do.
Right.
I would say I'm an expert on that now, on those things. And, There's some guys in my work who are going through one guy is like this religious guy and he's going through the same thing. His wife did. She's not happy and she's leaving. I was shocked. He's got 6 kids.
Oof.
And he's way younger than me. And like, you know, I wrote a book also on divorce. I've written 3 books. So that's my second one. I wrote one about my dog, which is kind of funny, but
oh, yeah,
I'm sure I'm not sure. But anyway, so the thing is, the trick, if a woman says to you, she wants to leave, you need to say to her, there's the door.
Absolutely.
And if you want to be with me, then we'll talk. But if not, I want to.
That doesn't just go for women. I think it or men. It goes for women as well.
80% of divorces are initiated by women.
Correct.
Really?
Yes. 80% walk out. Huh. And you know, I'm just gonna go back and we had a fantastic. I thought we had a fantastic marriage, but her mom became despondent with a business. You know, business mm-hmm. wasn't doing great. It was making about $6,000 a year. We go to the accountant and she'd start crying.
That's twice what you made when you moved here.
Excuse me?
That's twice what you made when you moved here.
Right. And I hate to say that once she left, man, my finances just went like, bing, up. Like, it got better and better and better and like, started doing amazing.
Because you were focusing on it?
No, basically
wasn't
because
funneling business money into a failing business.
I let her
business.
Control all the assets,
okay.
Everything. I didn't pay a bill, and then once I got now I'm
so
a master at it now, and
okay,
I save hundreds of thousands of dollars since she left. I'm not exaggerating.
He's no, I'm
not.
Sure.
I would have been like a millionaire, and I would have done stuff that I didn't do. But you know, I was just focused on the family, which is very important to me.
Sure.
And I let her do a thing because I loved her. And I said, you know, you got to do what you love.
Yep.
And I supported her. I built the floor of the studio, which was about twice the size of this. No, about 1.5. I built the race floor. I'd never done it before. Mm-hmm. And
Without YouTube.
And basically, it was a great floor. And man, I was there for a shoot. My mistake for guys, I want to tell you another thing. When a woman says to you, when she comes home, you don't be at home. Be with your friends. Go out with do what you want. You know, build yourself up. Don't. My life was, and my kid, I don't know. She said, "Dad's got no friends." I had no friends
mm-hmm.
because I said I don't need friends. I'm building my career and I'm focused on my family. And then when she'd call me, "Hey, there's a scratch in the floor, man." She hadn't put the phone down. I was already there fixing it.
Sure.
But the thing is, you know, I have a lady that I've been with for about 7.5 years. And, you know, we don't live together. And if she says to me, like I'm not happy with this, so I don't care if she doesn't like what I say. I still like, oh, you know, guys, when a woman says, oh, that's terrible. How can you say that before you, oh, well, you try to soften the blow. I go, like, I don't care what you think. That's what I believe. And if you don't like you know. But I'm polite about it, but. You know, you just got to stand your ground.
Yeah, don't change your beliefs for somebody else.
And women will lose their respect for you if you become like a beta. They will lose their respect for you.
Now, did you learn this on your own, or were you reading books and stuff too?
Books, speaking to people, seeing friends.
Okay,
seeing, I got to tell you about a friend of mine. I hope he doesn't listen.
Well, you would be the one that would share with him.
Okay,
so.
68 years old, and he married a 32-year-old woman. He's very wealthy.
Nice,
and she is
You can call her a cunt. It's okay.
I don't want to do that.
But I'll do it. She's a cunt. She's a bitch. She's terrible.
I don't want to say that.
Well, she is. But you said.
And like this guy bought $1 million house, moved the kids in. He says to me like, all his friends said, don't marry her. And he married her because he couldn't stand being alone.
My dad's leaving out some gaps. She has 3 kids from a prior engagement. Okay. She's 32 and she's with this guy who's 68.
Like he told me the other day, like, you know, I was going to make pancakes. And he goes like, I left the house quickly to buy some pancake mix for them, came back. And he goes, anybody ready for pancakes? And she goes, we just ate. And then I spoke to him on the phone. She was going to the store. She goes, hey, I'm speaking to Phil. And she goes, I'm leaving. And she just took off. And he goes, man, she left. And he goes, he says to me, I feel bad for the guy. He goes,
right.
She used to be a nice, you know, what made her think that when she got married, she didn't have to be nice anymore? And he goes to the counselor. Every time he goes to a counselor, the counselor says to him, I warned you.
Of course.
I warned you.
But he
you
knew
know
all
what
this.
You're getting into. And he says, I know. He goes, I just don't want to be alone. He goes, can I say like sex though?
Yeah.
Not bad. He just goes, hey man, I'm with a 32-year-old woman. I go, that's all you get, like 5 minutes, and the rest of the day is miserable.
Right.
That's his life.
Yeah. So
it's worth it until you spend that 5 minutes and you're like, why the hell did I do that?
Yeah, but that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And I like him. He's, you know, he's a good friend of mine, and he has a beautiful like condo on the beach. I go, why do you leave that? But I don't think it's gonna last. I really don't.
Well, clearly not.
This guy can take a lot of abuse.
Yeah.
It gets there.
And you said that they get weird looks when they hold hands going down the street because they're like, oh, is that your dad? That's weird.
She decided they're going to Egypt. And then a Nile cruise, and then they're going to Sudan. Nairobi,
Kenya.
Kenya. Ooh. And they're going to a game reserve, and then they're going to volunteer, and it's costing him for 2 weeks, $25,000.
Jesus.
Crazy stuff.
He's got money, though. So
I feel like you probably have, maybe not you personally, but that seems to be pretty typical of, you know, men in their 60s. They've been married, every subsequent wife that they have gets younger and younger, obviously.
Well, hopefully.
Right. I used to be embarrassed, but people call me cheap. Hey, I am cheap and I'm proud of it. I don't give a shit.
Right.
There you go. Loud and proud.
But if a friend of mine asked me to lend, if I have a friend needs $10,000, I will give it to him without question. But you know, and what's really funny about this guy, he was the guy who taught me to go to Taco Bell and save 50 cents on a burrito.
And he's a millionaire. Well, that's how he got to be a millionaire, right?
He was frugal with his money. He's a pilot. That's why he got to be a millionaire.
Oh, right.
He's got family that's wealthy.
That's cool. All right. I think we're going to wrap it up here.
No.
All right, fine. We'll take more.
Plane doesn't leave until tomorrow, Anna. Yeah, we got plenty of time.
Shut up. I'm hungry. I want to eat. Hello, who's this?
This is fun.
Hey, what's up? It's Pedro the Pool Guy.
Hey Pedro.
Johnny Geronimo.
What's up?
So I gotta ask your dad something.
Yeah, go for it.
I had a good job, and recently I was pushed out of the company last Monday, so now I'm unemployed, 43. I had a successful business that I sold about 3 years ago, and now I'm kind of trying to figure out what the hell I'm gonna do next. Any ideas on how to find yourself at 43?
Well, my dad had to find himself at like 56. Not with a career, but
my career. I have an amazing career. I'm so lucky. I was a PE teacher. I wouldn't have done. I would have become a dentist, as everyone knows. But I fell into it when I came to the States. I became a special ed teacher in high school, and I make about
Dad, you don't have to say exactly what you.
Okay, I want to. So the thing is, how do you find yourself? Are you with somebody right now? A lady?
Yeah, we've been married for 3 years. We've got 3 kids. Is she starting to look?
Has she got a better job than you?
I don't know. She's a flight attendant for 25 years.
That's a dangerous job for her to be.
Oh, no kidding.
I don't know what she looks like.
Now I'm trying to find something. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
He was just saying your wife is cheating on you is all you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's one of those careers. I'm not saying it. I would never say that. I don't know.
We're trying to find somewhere she can stop flying because it's just dangerous.
Yeah. What do you have any kind of education?
Yeah, I've got a finance degree. I had a pool repair service company. Now I'm working for a construction company setting equipment, but it's not my life's ambition.
You know, everybody goes, you got to do what you love, but the thing, it's not just that. You got to make a living. And like I just tell myself, I came to the States, I was a teacher, and I got back into teaching, the best thing I ever did. But, you know, I'm not saying you got to, the thing is, where can you make money? That's the thing. Where can you make a living? And
especially if you have a family to take care of.
Oh, it's tough, man. I feel for you. That's hard if you don't have a way to make a living. You just got to. The thing is, what I would do if I was in your situation, I would look some kind of field that I was interested in, look up what you can make, what kind of, you know, what the pay is in that field, and then just go for it.
But it, gotcha.
That's I mean, tough,
you know. You have a lot more options now with everything being online. So, I mean, a lot of people have businesses that, you know, you don't need a brick and mortar office or anything like that.
Why did you?
I sold it. Well, I just didn't want to do. I didn't want to do this business anymore.
What kind of business was it?
It was pool service and repairs.
You've been in and out of that business how many times?
Well, this is my second time out of it. I had my business for almost 20 years.
Did you actually do the work?
Yeah.
Yeah. The pool business is a tough business because, like, you know, on somebody's whim, you lose a client, and it's hard work, and it's not that much money, right? I mean, you do okay. Physical work. Like my hardest thing is that I do at work is pick up a pen. And my thing is working as little as you can and making as much as you can. Obviously, the work is correctly, but as little as you can. Like as a teacher, I don't do anything extra. The school's finished. There's dust behind me while getting to my car. I leave the school. Yeah. I work with special ed kids, so it's been great during the virus. I mean, during the COVID, I worked from home, made way more money because they paid us extra. Went back to school because they wanted us to come back because other teachers would come back. They paid us $100 an hour extra.
Jesus.
$100 an hour. I was making like...
On top of the salary.
On top of my salary.
All right, we don't need to go into your exact finances. Thank you, though.
This guy, what is
your
name again?
When do I get the apartment?
Quiet. This guy, you know, just find something that makes money. Don't go and do something that makes no money.
That's my train of thought. Though, make as much and do as little as possible.
Try to find a field. The thing is that this age, your age is kind of tricky. You know, it's like 43. You got to look after kids. Have you got some money though to keep going?
No, that's the problem.
I know that's. So you're relying on your wife.
Yeah, so Papa Humble, you asked him.
One sec, can I just finish that? Be very careful. Your wife's going to start finding you unattractive when you're not working.
No, we're good there.
Well, that's what I was gonna ask.
That's what you think.
Dad.
But you don't know.
You asked him how much she makes and, like, what does that matter?
Who asked
I actually
that?
Make more than she does.
You make more than she does?
Yes, sir.
Well you good. Didn't know that 5 minutes ago when he asked you.
I didn't know that.
Because Papa Hummel asked if the wife made more money than him. Why did you ask that, Papa Hummel?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Because as much as, you know, never ever listen to what a woman says to you. If she goes like, oh, you know, I love a guy who's sensitive, who's like caring
for the kids.
Lies.
That's all lies.
Bullshit.
Correct.
They respect the guy who takes charge.
Yes.
And... acts like a man, right. Like he'll fight, you know, if he has to fight. And you know, the beta males, you know, these guys that like feminism?
Yes.
They walk in with a feminist going, hey, you know, I support you. Like, those guys, the women don't respect them and will never be with them.
Right.
They want a guy, that's why the bad boy image is like what attracts women.
Of course.
All right, guys, I got to run.
All right.
Thank you. Good luck, guys. Sorry, huh?
And never take dating advice from another woman.
Never.
Right.
What?
You don't ask a fish how to catch a fish.
Patrice O'Neill, listen to his stuff. It is 100% correct.
What's his name?
Patrice O'Neill.
What does he do?
He's a comedian. He was a comedian. He passed away. And he said...
did he have a stroke?
Yeah, he was like kind of away. He had diabetes.
Yeah, he had diabetes really bad.
Listen to his advice. It's funny.
Because he would eat Chinese food like every day. He would.
It was great.
I'm a big fan of Patrice O'Neill, by the way.
Great.
Yeah. You said you should never ask a woman for dating advice?
Right. Never. You never ask a fish how to catch a fish.
That's right.
Never.
They know how to be caught.
No, they don't, because they lie about it.
Oh, yeah,
because
they might lie about it.
They know the truth. No, they don't.
They know the truth. They may lie about it.
They lie about it. Women lie. I'll give an example, like my girlfriend, Lynn, okay? She always tells me, you're always looking at weight and this and that, and why can't you just accept? And then she sees a handsome guy on TV. She goes, oh, look at his body.
Right, of course.
I said, what do you say if we don't care about it?
Right.
Yeah.
But here's the thing is, I think for the most part, women don't know what actually they find attractive. Like what turns
them on. They don't know what they want.
But I do.
Women don't know what they want.
Correct.
They don't.
Do you know what you want? What do you mean women don't know what they want?
They think they want this.
I'll tell you, this is what I will tell you about that. And I don't want to put myself in that category because I feel like I've really like studied the science behind it, but I'm different.
You're a little different because you studied it.
Yeah, I am different. I get it. I get that.
That is a little different.
But I think that women, we'll just talk about women and men have, you know, separate issues. But with women, I think they've been socialized to be like, you know, you want a guy who's sensitive and compassionate,
but when it comes to their biology,
they actually crave other things.
Correct. But they'll tell you that's what they want because that's what they think they really do want.
I agree.
But that's not what they want.
I agree.
That is true.
I agree. All right.
Just wait, hold on. One more thing.
Yeah. Go ahead.
What do women want? Well, women are looking for, you know, hypergamy. They want to always date up. They never date down.
What is that word?
Hypergamy. They're looking for a guy who's a little better. If they leave a guy, they'll only go to a guy who makes more money, who's more.
They'll date up. Okay.
Yeah, always
they'll
date
upgrade.
Up. But guys, they don't care. They don't care like what a woman makes. They just care what she looks like. And it's like a Patrice O'Neill says, like he goes, there was this woman like lying next to the. Would you go to the woman who's like. Down and out and has no money because Patrice goes, she's lying next to the trash can with that.
No,
trash
no,
in
the
it.
Joke was
and
like,
let me finish. And then he goes, she looks kind of cute though.
No. He said, like, he's asked, like, would you risk it all for like that secretary? He's like, I would risk it all for that drunk, disgusting bitch behind the dumpster. Like, you know,
and then they go, why? She looks kind of cute with that trash in her
hair. Yeah.
So that's the way it is, man.
All right, Dad. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, of course. Blitz, thank you for setting it up.
I'm just getting hungry. That's all it is.
That's not untrue. Thank you guys for listening. We're going to be back tomorrow.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be back. We don't know. We'll see.
We'll keep you informed.
The Delta might have got us all.
Yeah, hopefully we won't all fall ill tomorrow in 24 hours. But thank you guys for listening. And there'll be some sort of programming tomorrow, whether live or not. So stay tuned and have a great rest of the day. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks, guys.